gentlemen, a big ball talk. Trade market, trade deadline. Special. Matt Edward Jordan. Legal. Psych, actually. Jordan Flegel has been traded as of Woj. We don't do shams. He's been traded
for
two first-round picks.
Mid-game. Felix Harrison Barnes.
Yes. And two first-round picks. The future. Big Dog Ball Talk okay. Monkey. Make the salaries work. And Jordan Flegel.
So me and the monkey are going together.
Yep. For Democratic Party leader Stephen A. Smith. Welcome, Stephen A. Stephen, how do you feel to be here?
Take. I would love
you're actually Stephen somehow A. still going to Utah. They're the third team to make the salary work. It's actually the Big Dog Well Talk Monkey is going to go to First Take. He's the star. Okay, he was the they value the potential in him.
Yeah, he's got great takes. He keeps it tight, like for the broadcast, on TV. Not everyone can do it. Mm-hmm. We've had a great run here. I lasted longer than I thought I would, I guess. But enjoy Stephen A. He's not easy to talk to, man.
Yeah,
he just gets horny all the time. So
yeah, makes two of us then. Someone to match my freak on the podcast. But you've seen all this, that Stephen A. Smith might actually seriously try to run for those are the rumors that he might run for president.
But why is NBA Central or whatever tweeting that out? He even Stephen A. was like, not Central? Question mark. I mean, he got tricked like the rest of us. Who the fuck? And then every reply on that is all the instances of him saying whether he's eating ass and all this other shit. So, go ahead. If he wants to, I would consider voting for him. I haven't heard, any of
him and him and Trump puzzles. Could have a horny off. I mean, I guess technically Trump's going to be done no matter what, but it would be a hell of a face off, man. Maybe that could be how they'd settle it. Instead of a debate, they just have like a straight up like a fuck off or something. I don't know. there's something we could do here. Stephen A versus Trump. I put my money on Stephen A, I don't know if Trump's got the heart in the dog anymore. Weighs a little bit too much. Too many McDonald's meals. Stephen A's probably eating lo mein still. But it's Big Dog Ball Talk. Matt Edward Jordan Flegel breaking down all the craziest, probably the craziest NBA trade deadline ever. I think it's safe to say.
How funny is that?
Obviously, if you guys haven't gone and listened to it, be sure to go check out our reactions recapping the Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic trade, as well as the De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio with Zach LaVine over there to Sacramento. Get all our takes there. A wild deadline. Trades were flying wildly all the way through the last couple days. Unfortunately, Kevin Durant was not moved. Probably the only rumored name that didn't get moved. Pretty much every single other person this year that was ever featured in trade talks was moved.
Everyone moved.
We always say it, Jordan, that we're huge fans of trades. It's the most exciting thing in the sport to us. Really shakes things up. It's always fun to think about ways to actually take those gambles to make your team better and just hypothesize how you could make it work. Now the trade deadline season has come and gone. This was one of the best. It's very thrilling, and I'm just a little bit disappointed now we can't hit the trade machine now for another 6 months.
I know, right? Yeah, it feels kind of crazy, especially like the trades themselves take up so much of the air. Now I'm in the period after where I'm like, I can't believe certain teams didn't make moves. And it's just crazy to think like, no, these are the rosters now that'll be going into the playoffs. You can really sort of lock in and take stock. I mean, aside from buyouts and things like that. Down the line, little marginal moves. Largely, this is what it's going to be. And yeah, the movement is crazy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot changing, especially out west. It feels like anyone who was good and it was in rumors in the east is now in the west. And so that's even more of a bloodbath. So that'll be interesting. But with the exception of Brandon Ingram, who we will we'll get to,
the only guy who left from the hard difficulty mode to the easy one, everyone else going into the adverse stages of the Wild West. To start it off, let's talk about a guy who did go from the east to the west, the belle of the ball, the biggest name that really was floating around in this. Whole trade deadline rumors for the last, month and a half. Obviously,
he was the one who kicked it off.
Yes, not the biggest name to be traded. Obviously, Luka and AD kind of usurped him from that. But Jimmy Butler, now officially gone from the Miami Heat. That era is over. The indefinite suspension. We don't have to worry about it anymore. We can all move on with our lives. Jimmy Butler, officially a Golden State Warrior. I was pretty shocked, Jordan. I was sure that he was going to Phoenix. That was the only team from what we'd seen that yep. really was interested, and they were aggressive in trying to get him. Golden State had kind of already said they were kind of out on Jimmy before. So I was really surprised to see that he was going to go there. Every time I've seen him, like any of these mock photoshops of him in a Warriors jersey, it's really gross to me. I actually think the Warriors really need to get rid of the jerseys. They need to switch it up. That blue and yellow, I've never liked it. I liked it when all their alternates are much nicer. Every alternate they've ever had is nicer than the ones they actually wear. So that's my nitpick on their jersey talk. But the Golden State Warriors get Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat in return, getting Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, PJ Tucker, and a 2025 first round pick that's protected from the Warriors. The Utah Jazz and Detroit Pistons are also involved in this one, with Dennis Schroeder going over to the Utah Jazz. How do you like that for slavery? Actually, double it, Dennis Schroeder. You're also getting traded to Detroit later on.
We might need context for that.
Well, yeah, if anyone in here, Dennis Schroeder compared the NBA trade deadline to slavery, modern day, which is funny because he makes millions of dollars to play basketball. But get traded twice. Technically thrice in one season, Dennis. And then the Pistons.
He's completed the rainbow now, the Dwight Howard rainbow.
Yes, legendary Toronto Raptor, Dennis Schroeder. And then the Detroit Pistons to round it all off, get Lindy Waters III and Josh Richardson. I'm sure that, again, I mentioned every time we talk about Lindy Waters, that girl from that one weird little TikTok that said her hall pass would be Lindy Waters III.
Where does she live?
Yeah, she's got to be going to Michigan now. But
she's from Flint.
To break it down, let's talk about Jimmy Butler and his fit here. This is really the big name. You know, the Jazz really just were in this to make the money work. The Pistons, same kind of deal. Lindy Waters, he's actually like 26, 27. He's not really even a young prospect. Josh Richardson actually might be able to give them some minutes. We'll see. But the big things to talk about in this one is the Warriors and the Heat side of things. And we'll start with the Warriors. How does Jimmy fit on this team? I would love to be a fly on the wall for these practices between him and Draymond, because of them, it's either going to be awesome or it's going to completely implode in minutes between those two big personalities. Maybe they'll be throwing hands. I'm not so sure. But his fit overall on this team, I'm still a little bit skeptical on it, Jordan. One of the biggest things that the Warriors needed coming into the trade deadline was they needed the offense. Their defense is already, one of the best in the NBA, top 10 in defensive rating, but their offense was putrid. And, Jimmy Butler has proven that, he can go there in the playoffs and he can get buckets. He's a bit of a mid-range assassin. He's not afraid to slash to the rim, but his floor spacing days seem to, for some reason, be behind him, kind of going reverse regression. And instead of learning how to shoot the three, he has decided to go away from it. And on a team that kind of needs that spacing, like Draymond's shooting the ball at a way better clip than he has in previous seasons. Steph obviously is Steph Curry, so you're not worried there. But then you got Trayce Jackson-Davis, Kevon Looney at the five. Neither of them are going to be stretching anything out. And then Buddy Hield has had a very hot and cold season. Podziemski has also kind of been not so reliable from beyond the arc. So I think that the Warriors did obviously get a little bit better in this case, but they gave up some good rotational pieces in this one, and my boy Andrew Wiggins and Kyle Anderson. I don't really know if Jimmy is like a massive upgrade for this team, if I'm being 100% honest. And they're currently sitting, as we're recording this Thursday night, 11th. They're tied with the Phoenix Suns for that 10 seed, but the Suns have the tiebreaker right now. They still have a chance. The difference between the 11 seed and the 6 seed in the West is only 3 games. They'll probably make a good push for this playoffs, but I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if they somehow managed to miss it still.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing, even aside from the fit, which I will, we'll get into as well, but like the age thing was the thing that we talked about when we first looked at this big three. Like, all these guys are 35 plus. Like, that has potential to be like, the Rockets when Charles Barkley and Hakeem and Scottie Pippen tried to, make Drexler something happen there, all towards the Drexler towards the end of their career, in the prime would have been gangbusters. But, there's just not a lot of good, even those that Lakers team with Nash and Dwight and Kobe.
I thought you were going to say the Lakers with Malone and Gary Payton.
Oh, well, that as well. I mean, they were kind of added to an already good team, but those guys,
they lost.
Supposed to be real contributor. They did. You know, so yeah, you've got tons of these examples where you can have older guys like Jimmy. I'm not discounting that he can be very effective at age 35. Apparently he's healthy and ready to come back and he's motivated, blah, blah, blah. That's what I would say.
He better be healthy. He hasn't fucking done anything.
Trying to get paid. Well, yeah, exactly. But like, there's no guarantee of that, but that could happen. We know Steph is still playing at a relatively high level. I think everyone knows he's taken a bit of a step back, but
yeah,
like, again, like you just laid out, they're behind the eight ball now. It's not like, you know, they're in great position, guaranteed to make it. And this is, I just said, this is going to be a bloodbath in the West. So many teams have re-upped. The Spurs now look ready to say, you know what? No, we're going for this.
Yep.
Even the Kings, you know, are going to say, look, we might've traded away De'Aaron Fox, but we're still in win now mode. You know, the Mavericks, like you go through the list, like, it's going to be hard for them to sort of stay in that mix with guys who are in and out of the lineup. Like, I just think between when you get to that 35, 34, 35, 36 plus in the NBA, like, not only is it hard for you to stay on the court, it's hard for you to keep the rhythm. Like, you can have games like the nationally televised games where, you know, you can get up for them. You can look exactly like your old self, but then most people don't see that, you know, that two nights later in Charlotte when you score 12 points and you're gassed. Mm-hmm. And you get, like, it's just, it's so hard. The slog of the regular season, we've still got quite a bit of it left to go here. And so that's what I'm worried about. Like, if you could tell me these guys would be rested and fully healthy going into the playoffs, this big three, throw the fit questions out the window, I'd be like, look, these are the three of the best guys we've had in the NBA the last 10 years. They fit together sort of at least on both sides of the ball. Like, Jimmy comes in and isn't a weakness on either side, really, aside from the shooting. Mm-hmm. But again, I foresee a situation where they have to try so hard to get into the playoffs that they're not going to be rested. There's no guarantee they're going to be fully healthy. And then, yeah, when it gets down to it, even if they were, it's true that Jimmy Butler is a career, like, 33% 3-point shooter. And that's, like, generous. Like, this year he's shooting like 1.5 per, like, he doesn't really even shoot them anymore, which, you know, is fine if you're kind of the guy who has the ball all the time, you know, which is what it was mainly like in Miami. Obviously, Tyler Hero took some of that responsibility on this year. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's where Jimmy is best, is kind of running that pick and roll, being the one with the ball in his hands. He's a great facilitator, can get to the rim. You know, I still believe in him as well to, you know, go hit a big three at the end of the game if you need him to. He's always been that kind of player. But, like, if you're looking at it with you know, Draymond there as sort of the forward combo, the spacing isn't great because you also don't have a floor spacing five that you can throw out there. Nope. Like, you didn't go and get Vucevic.
Shocked that didn't happen.
Me too. I thought that was a shock, especially, like,
he wasn't dealt at all.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he's still there. I can't believe that, because if you're the Bulls, why wouldn't you? And yeah,
second round picks. Take something. Get him out of there. You don't need him.
No, especially now, like, anything. You know, you didn't get anyone like that. So then if you're playing Draymond mostly at the five, then you've got Jimmy there at the four. Again, that's not a lot of spacing. And we know with the rest of this Warriors squad, like, they didn't get better in any other way. If anything, they've now hampered their, you know, depth and rotation a little bit through this trade. So it's like, who are the other two guys out there aside from Steph? Is it Buddy Hield? I mean, he technically stretches the floor, but he can't do anything off the bounce. He's a liability on defense. So, like, there's still a lot of questions.
Moses Moody.
Hopefully, Steve Kerr feels comfortable to play, you know, guys like that. I mean, you've got Kuminga as well, who also isn't the best proven floor stretcher. So, like, you have those three out there. It is an awkward fit. But again, I'm more worried about the age question, where these guys are in their careers. So I can see it. I can still see a situation where this kind of motivates them all. It's like a fucking shot for all these old guys. It's like a shot of adrenaline or some fucking thing, you know, whatever they used to give, liquid cocaine, just to give these guys a little bit of a boost. But again, like, that is only going to get them so far. I think by the time the playoffs are actually here and we're in, like, you know, the second round, I don't think this is, like, a healthy enough built team to actually do that much.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that being said, Jimmy Butler has, like, taken teams to heights that we never thought they would get to, and he's upped his play to places we never thought he'd be able to get to. So even though I'm being kind of, you know, negative about this right now, I'm not ruling out that they could be quite good, maybe win a couple rounds and give someone a scare if everything coalesces. But you need Steph to be incredible Steph. Yes, you need Jimmy to be incredible Jimmy. You need Draymond to be like the best big defender ever who is comfortable, you know, back in the 2016-17 days playing center all the time. Like, you need so much to go right.
Yeah.
So, and it's just a bad bet in my opinion. So yeah, I'm mainly negative on this. And it felt like a desperation move from the Warriors. It wasn't one they made out of strength, I don't think.
No, this is them making this last-ditch effort to try and make the playoffs, give Steph a good send-off.
And they didn't want him. If they really wanted Jimmy, they could have got him way earlier.
Oh, yeah, because I think this package was it's the same deal they probably would have given up. But it's not like the Miami Heat got desperate either. Again, they were more – Pat Riley was more than happy to be spiteful to a T and just let him rot on the bench for the rest of the year or just at home, really. This is – like, I like that – I do think the Warriors should have been buyers, but there was – like, again, another bowl that we were talking they should have tried to get. Zach LaVine would have been the perfect guy on this team. Yeah, they needed a guy who could just go out there and get buckets. Obviously, then, you know, the backcourt of him and Steph, not exactly the lockdown defense coming from either of those two right now. But, I mean, that would at least help you improve offensively where you've really struggled. Whereas, you know, Jimmy, like – because Kuminga is going to be back in the next week or so. Last report that I saw was that, you know, end of January, he was 2 weeks away. So, you know, let's say next week, maybe next Friday, but by the time we're talking about this, you know, he'll be back. But I don't really see the fit there either. Like we said, Kuminga can't shoot. Jimmy's not shooting. Draymond can't really shoot that well. And then the five spot, no matter who you got there, is not going to be able to stretch the floor much. So, like, Jimmy's going to have to play the two? Like, is that what we're going back to? Like, he hasn't played the two since Chicago. I don't really think that five makes sense to me. And again, like you said, you mentioned, but like Buddy Hield's the only guy who really fits in that backcourt next to Steph at this point. Like, Moses Moody is solid, but I mean, I'd say he's pretty average at this point in his career. Gary Payton can't stay healthy, and he's just all defense. I'm just out on this team completely, man. Like, I think they could maybe battle their way to the 8 seed through the play-in? Yes, I think that there is a possibility, you know, that, like, Jimmy does give them a lot of upside. Like, I do still believe Steph's got some gas in the tank. He's going to have some really awesome performances, I'm sure, down the stretch of the season. But in the playoffs, man, I don't think these guys are competing with nobody, man. I think that they're probably going to get shellacked in the first round, no matter who they match up with. Like, I guess there's a world where if they could match up with, like, the Rockets, maybe, just because they're savvy vets. The Rockets, they have no real experience outside of Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, and I don't think either of those two are going to be carrying them, you know, in the postseason. So I may be a potential upset there, but even then, right now the Rockets are third, so you wouldn't even be able to get them unless you're a top six seed. So I really just see them getting beaten to a pulp by the Thunder or the Grizzlies, you know, showing them that the future is now. You're old, you're done, you're washed. I'm out on this move completely, man. I respect the fact that they tried to do it and that they at least got Jimmy Butler out of there. But yeah, like you said, the age thing is also a huge concern, because he's got his player option this year that he said he's gonna opt out of. So again, it's
He got his money too. He got a couple contract 2 years, but really it's just one. But
yeah, so I don't really know what, like, the future holds for this team. Like, maybe the offseason they could make something happen. I'm not really sure, because again, it's not like they've shedded a lot of their, like, money off. They still have fucking Jimmy Butler's contract absorbed and all the is going to come with all that in the future. So I don't know, man. I'm very out on this move. Very disappointed by the culmination of the Jimmy Butler saga here and all these rumors and trade deadline, hypotheticals that we had. I think we drum up some better trade offers than this, to be honest. The other side of this trade, though, I do want to, you know, touch upon it a little bit here, because the Miami Heat are still right in the thick of things in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They're actually sixth right now in the East. They got a one game lead over the Pistons, 1.5 over the Magic to stay out of the play-in. And I think that this team, man, the Heat have a good chance to, actually stay in that top six. I don't think that they're going to be able to compete with, you know, the big dogs of the East, with the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Bucks. I mean, the Pacers have been actually sneaky hot coming into this. But my boy Wiggins, man, I told you, he's going to win the finals MVP. He's got his own team. And not even like jokingly, he is actually a perfect Jimmy Butler replacement. Like, if you want the poor man's Jimmy Butler, who can actually shoot the three a little bit, like, Wiggins is going to slot in next to Tyler Hero perfectly on this team. Bam Adebayo and Khalil Ware, like, that's actually a pretty solid starting five. Do I think that they're going to be, you know, out there winning the championship this year? No, not really. But I do think that this team actually has some legs. I think that they're going to, you know, be able to be competitive. And in the weak East, who knows? You know, if they could somehow end up matching up first round against a, you know, a team like, I don't know, Indiana, I could maybe see the Miami Heat pulling off the upset. So, you know, maybe not going to be the best team in the East by any means, but I definitely could see them making a little bit of a competitive push here. And they've got a lot of vets. They got a good mix of youth. They got, you know, the all-star talent and Hero and Wiggins and Bam. So I think that they've got the potential to be competitive, but only in the East. I mean, in the Western Conference, we wouldn't even be looking at these guys, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's true. And yeah, I mean, that does tell you the state of the East that, you know, that's been true for a while now. Like, yeah, a team like Miami, I 100% think they're sort of still in the mix here in that middle. Yeah, like, I don't think they're going to lose ground. I mean, they've gotten used to playing almost every regular season with Jimmy missing most of the games. Like, it's not like they're missing or losing this great regular season contributor. Like, they've already learned how to play without him, basically.
They got a game off the Celtics last year without him.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think this version of this team is better sort of in theory. Like, you're basically replacing Jimmy, who wasn't there anyway, with, like you said, like, Wiggins is going to slot in there. I think he's actually going to sort of be really nice in that third role behind Tyler Hero and Bam, or maybe behind Tyler Hero, sort of in front of Bam, depending on the matchup, the night, any given thing. Like, I think they can sort of, you know, tag team that secondary role. And I think he's really well suited for that. Like you said, I mean, Khalil Ware, we both talked him up, you know, at the beginning of this season, coming into this year, as a guy to watch, a rookie to watch. And yeah, he's really come on recently. Like, he just looks like a great fit, can play with Bam there in the front court, which gives them a lot of size and sort of versatility. Like, even Kyle Anderson, like, having Slo-Mo there is such a, like, that's such a Heat type of guy to have in the lineup, who's going to be able to
hard hat mentality.
And it, you know, does the dirty work, but also moves the ball, can just kind of just slot in a perfect glue guy. And I think this really clarifies things even more for Tyler Hero, just being like, no, you have the keys now to this offense, and he's deserving of it this year. He's been so good. He's what's kept them afloat and where they're at, with Bam having a pretty bad season, at least to start. Like, he's just been great. And so now you're saying to him, look, we've traded Jimmy. It is all you. I think he's going to be even more free to go bomb away, you know, develop his game as a playmaker. And now he's got more weapons to pass to and get more guys involved. Like, I'm actually I'm somewhat high on this Heat team now. Like, I'm going to enjoy watching them more, I think.
Again, my boy Wiggins, I'm telling you, if he was in the East the whole time, he might have been an all-star with this team. He's going to be back. Guys forget that he was scoring like 25 points per game.
It's true. And I mean, this is a separate move that we probably won't talk about, but they also picked up Davion Mitchell, who is a great fit as a defensive really guard in the backcourt. I could see him playing next to either Rozier or Hero really nicely and just hounding the ball, because neither of those guys, as we know, are great defenders. Like, he can go back there and really slot in nicely. So
I like the deadline that they've had for the Raptors.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I get it, but at the same time, don't like it.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, it's, I all things considered, I like what they've done, because again, you also like a guy like Jaime Jaquez, who's in a second year, kind of experiencing that sophomore slump, at least to an 100%. Extent. He hasn't had the, you know, the same crazy season, but Jimmy's gone now for him too. And it's like, Wiggins is there, but he slots in kind of more effortlessly next to him, because Wiggins is the better shooter. He kind of spaces it, gives everyone more room to operate when you're out there on the wing with him. Like, I just think this clarifies a lot of things for a lot of guys on this squad. The young guys have more of a chance. Even Jovic, like, he's going to get more play. Like, and then it's more of like a Eric Spoelstra type project here, the back half of the season, where you just got all these scrappy guys with a lot to prove, who no one really believes in. You're not really this, like, you know, the big bad Heat anymore, who anyone's really that like scared of since Jimmy's gone. But and he can sort of bring the best out of these guys, which you always know that he's going to do. So yeah, if I'm one of these teams, like even the Knicks, which would be the matchup right now, I'm not picking the Heat to win a 3-6 matchup against the Knicks, but like I wouldn't want them to be my first round opponent all. I'd be pissed if I end up with that because
test you.
I could see that easily. Yeah, I could see that easily going like six games, in the blink of an eye, and then you're like, shit, we're down five here, on the road going back home for game seven, and then you don't know what could happen. Like I'm just throwing that out there. So yeah, I really like in the circumstances where Jimmy says I want out, I'm gonna make your life hell. The haul that they've gotten back, for that, I think is great, and you can keep competing for now.
Yeah, well, it looks like somehow Miami ended up winning this trade in a way. So we'll keep an eye on how the Heat continue to evolve, and we're talking about Eastern Conference teams that are kind of jockeying among the the top of the conference. Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. They made, I thought, a pretty shocking move. We talked about the rumors of Chris Middleton getting flipped. There was a lot of different, places that we thought, maybe they would make sense to have him go on. But he ends up in basketball purgatory, which is the Washington Wizards organization. And the Knicks are also involved in this a little bit to make it all work. But in this trade, they do it to get Kyle Kuzma. Yes, you heard that right. The Milwaukee Bucks get Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Jericho Sims from the Knicks, and the 2025 second round pick. The Wizards get Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, and a 2028 first round pick swap. And then the Knicks get DeLon Wright and some cash considerations, whatever that entails. Let's talk about the Bucks, obviously, to start this off. Super sad. I already watched two or three. I might have even sent you one or two, Jordan. Clips. Very sad. Guitar music playing to highlights of Giannis and Middleton from over the past like 5-6 years. It's very, very heart wrenching to see him kind of sent on to greener pastures. Like watching a former All Star, Finals performer like Middleton, who's a very unsung guy. Like no one outside of the diehard NBA fans know who the hell Chris Middleton is. So seeing him it's kind of like watching your dog, like the family dog, get put down. Like you're upset about it, but you kind of knew this was coming.
He's just going to Washington.
Yeah, we're just going. Like he's going to a beautiful. Down. It's like going it's to a equivalent. Farm. Yeah. Oh, I mean, basketball terms may as well be. Like I said, him Brogdon, him buddy. Brogdon, and Marcus Smart, the three of them. Man, that's purgatory.
It's like, are we ever going to see him again? It's like, he's good on the farm. He's good in Washington.
Yeah, they'll take good care of him, buddy. but yeah, I was very surprised the Bucks made the move in a sense. I know they moved him to the bench and we kind of, sniffed that out that they were probably looking to find some suitors for him before it was even officially announced. But I just think one, this is kind of disrespectful to Chris. Like I this is a guy who's been with your franchise forever. Next to Giannis, your longest tenured guy in the organization, literally was a huge reason why you won a championship in the last 50 years.
I think that's putting it lightly. I don't know if people realize how important he was. Like they wouldn't have won without him.
Well, no.
Flat out. I mean, second most important guy, I would say. Yeah. Maybe you could argue Drew. I would actually say Chris.
Well, I mean, dude, that second, the conference finals against the Hawks, Giannis was out. It was all Middleton. Yes. He was going bonkers in that series. And if he's not out there playing the way he was, then we would have seen Trae Young in the fucking finals against the Suns. The Suns probably would have won the championship.
What a travesty.
So what if?
That would have been great, CP.
But this is a, I just felt like that's just, like, again, you see a lot of these other teams, if they have to trade a guy who they have a long-standing history with, they don't want to end it on a sour note, where's your preferred destination? Is there somewhere you would like to go? Like, we need to move you. It's business, but we don't want to, just shaft you completely. They fucked him over, man. Like, you're literally getting sent to the team that is on pace to be the worst team of all time. Like, I'm a little bit peeved, and I'm not even a Bucks fan by any means, they kind of would do that. And then on the other side of it, the Bucks taking Kyle Kuzma, who I think I told you already, we were breaking it down a little bit off camera. Like, this is a fucking horrendous fit. I don't know what the hell they think they're going to get with Kyle Kuzma next to Giannis. Like, this is horrible. Your floor spacing was already pretty weak. And now you get Kuzma, who has, what did we say, shooting 23% from three right now?
28, Matt. Come on, don't be mean.
I should give him some credit. He can't shoot the ball worth shit. He's been playing in Washington, and he's had shit stats on the worst team. Like, you could at least be like Jordan Poole and put up, like, nice flashy numbers. Yes. You've been dog shit on a bad team. That tells me that you are horrible. So I don't know how the hell they come out of this where they have to, like, the Wizards are getting Chris Middleton, who I think you could still argue right now is actually better than Kuzma, and you get a fucking first round pick swap. So I'm really, like, confused as to what Milwaukee's thinking with this one. Like, I don't know if they're trying to bring Kuzma in as, like, this, like, off the bench kind of like a guy to bring some life into the second unit or what, but like I really think that fit next to Giannis is going to be just dog shit. Like I'm surprised that they didn't want to make some other kind of a move again with like, I don't think anyone really talked about like Brandon Ingram probably would have been a better fit in Milwaukee. Like, I think that actually would have been a really nice guy to pair next to Giannis, but here we are, a Kuzma for Middleton swap. Our boy DeLon Wright gets to go to MSG, so that's cool.
Cool.
I'm out on this.
Another
on the
place
side
where
of
I think
box.
He should get minutes. By yes, the way, we'll see. Keep standing up for DeLon Wright.
We're truthers.
Plays,
but. DeLon Wright truthers. the Wizards get a good guy in Middleton. I doubt he'll be there for the whole part of his contract, but. Yeah, Kyle Kuzma in Milwaukee. Very weird.
Yeah, you can say that. It does feel like another. It's so crazy. I mean, if people are listening to this podcast, it felt like, I've always said it felt like bad vibes, bad juju. Exactly what you're describing about Middleton. The way that they just traded away Drew. Whenever that was. Like, was it the beginning of last year? These seasons all meld together.
Yeah, beginning of last year.
Another just guy who you would not have won the championship with, was so important to your core, who you just traded away at the drop of a hat. That one at least made somewhat amount of sense because you were bringing in so much of a better offensive fit in Dame. Mm-hmm. But this I agree. This is the same type of I get the same type of feeling from this. It's like, number one, you were very frustratingly sort of short-sighted about this whole Middleton situation. We all saw this coming a mile away, that you were going to hold on to him for too long till his value was essentially in the toilet, and then you weren't going to get anything good back for him, and you set up yourself for a situation like this where you're just sending him somewhere where he has no desire to be there's no sort of happy ending. The craziest part is that it was for Kuzma. Like, whatever, if you were getting a really, really great fit back and it was like, we hate to do this, but this is the way it goes, Chris. It's like, okay, at least I could get it a little bit from the team building perspective of what's best for the product. Like, I agree. Like, I don't think that you can say Kuzma is even better than Middleton, even though Middleton has had fucking two surgeries on his goddamn ankles and he looks like he can't move a lot of the time. Like, at least he can still reliably shoot it, and he has the history there with that squad. He knows how to fit in, like, even if he was a bench piece, because and sort of accepted that bench role going forward just forever. If we were like, okay, Chris, you're coming off the bench, like, I would rather have that, I think, than Kuzma, because again, like, Kuzma in that starting lineup as the three makes no sense at all. Kyle Kuzma, it needs to be a four, I think, and even then he's a shit four because he can't stretch at all. And that's sort of that's supposed to be what he's, that prototype is able to do. He's a decent rebounder, I'll give him that. But this year, his numbers just across the board haven't looked the same. So you can't even you can't even expect that to necessarily translate and for him to go back to like first year Washington LA type Kuzma. But that's got to be what the Bucks are sort of banking on, is that he's been on a bad team for so long that he's like in a daze and isn't even trying anymore. And when he comes into our system, he's just going to thrive. Like, I think that's a weird bet to make about a guy who sort of has been in Washington and has willingly just been there and through like weird times, like last year was all set to go to Dallas, but basically said, no, I don't want to do that. I'll stay in Washington. Like, why would you want to trade for a guy like that? It's crazy. Like the on and off court dynamic, I just think is just bad news. And yeah, like if you're saying, okay, he can be the four and then Giannis is going to play the five, which obviously the Bucks like to go to at least some of the time. I still don't even like that because, again, I don't think Kuzma is going to be reliably knocking down three-pointers. And he's not the greatest defender either. Like, I don't think Kyle Kuzma, even though he's got size, is going to be good at defending that many wings. Like, he's a decent option. He's better than nothing, throwing him out there with Torian Prince.
I think his, like, best days, people can just go back and like, oh, yeah, well, he was a champion with the Lakers. No fucking thanks to him, man. It's not like Kuzma was amazing player.
That's
like
the thing.
He gets these streaky, shooting streaks, but again, we haven't seen him go on like any kind of a real ride like that in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't believe that he can get back to this place where people are putting him on. And even that place, the best case scenario of Kuzma isn't that good.
No.
The fit's not great. And I agree with you. Probably the best thing to do with him is to say, okay, you're coming off the bench, but you still also have Bobby Portis off the bench. So are you doing like sort of a Bobby Portis is the kind of small five and you've got Kuzma there off the bench. Fine. I guess I can see that maybe working, but I don't see a scenario where you can have Dame, whoever you've got at the two, which is a huge weak spot for you. And then, Torian Prince, Dame, whoever you got the two, Kuzma, Giannis, and then Brooke. I just don't think that works. Like, I don't think that front court of Kuzma and Giannis in the forward spots makes any sense. So, I'm not high on the move. I understand getting off Middleton. I thought they've needed to do that for a long time, but it's a classic thing of just waiting too long, and you just made something that, if anything, is a bit of a lateral move to me. And like you said, now you're out some draft capital. Don't like it.
Well, we'll keep an eye on how the Bucks, manage to fit Kuzma into their new lineup. But another kind of weak move that the big dogs were just not really feeling right now. And here's a big one that I'm interested to get your take because I feel like we could danced around it a little bit. But here it is: as Raptors homers, Toronto Raptors receive Brandon Ingram. The Pelicans getting Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, 2025 first round pick and a 2025 second round pick. Where do we start, man? For the Pelicans, because this is quick and easy. Great move. You get rid of Brandon Ingram. You kind of already had established that he was not going to be part of your future plans anymore. You get a solid first round pick. You get Kelly Olynyk, who is going to be under contract for, I believe, one more year, who's a serviceable, second unit big, can stretch the floor, not going to lose you any games by any means. Bruce Brown's off your books at the end of the season, but, solid vet that you can use. And if you really wanted to re-sign him and just keep him around, you could, probably at a pretty affordable rate. But you know what? Regardless, he's off the books. You're trying to lose. It's all going to work out. So Pelicans, good move. Don't hate it. I don't know what the direction of the Raptors are anymore, man. I really don't get it. That we talked about this a little bit when the rumors first kind of started flooding in that the Raptors were pursuing Brandon Ingram, we've said like is a solid player, a 25-5 guy this season. The limited appearances that he had. I'm not arguing his fit with the team because I do think that, in a hypothetical world, like a starting five of Quickly, RJ, Ingram, Scotty, and Jakob, like that's solid, especially in the Eastern Conference right now. Like that is decent. You can actually win some games with that starting five. But my two biggest things, one is Brandon Ingram, as far as I've seen, doesn't have any timetable to return this season. That's a problem. And then he's expired at the end of the year. He's an unrestricted free agent. They better have some fucking guarantees, some back alley deals gone down that we know, kind of like Siakam to Indiana last year, where we know they're at least going to lock him up and try something out with him in an extended period of time. Because if they make this trade, they give up two of their only real trade pieces and a first on a rebuilding team, and then he says, fuck this, I don't want to be in Canada, and goes somewhere else. This was for fucking nothing. So I'm really on the fence about this move. I think potentially it could work, but again, very weird timing to try and upgrade the team and be more competitive when we were actually on pace to be like a top five lottery team, and now we're trying to maybe make a play-in push. Like I'm just a little bit unsure of if the organization knows where they want to go. Like I think this is just kind of one of those things you do when you're bored, just make the move just to do it, shake things up. I don't know. I'm interested to get your thoughts. but I think his fit basketball wise works. Solid player. I'm just not sure that this is the right timing for that move.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I think the issue is, the fit and the timing. The like it's true. The Raptors, the point of this year is to lose. We want to get down there in the lottery again if at all possible, and get someone to pair next to Scottie. So, you know, I think that just has to be the goal. So I have to believe that they made this move knowing that Ingram, even if he did come back sooner than everyone expects, isn't going to like drive winning enough for them to really to boggle those plans. Like, and I think that that's probably true. I think even if he does come back, you know, a little bit towards the end of the season, they'll probably, you know, make up a little thing, hold him out like they've been doing all year with, you know, quickly. I'm sure he could have played more if we really wanted to. We're trying to win. Same thing with, you know, all these other guys. It's clear they've taken their time. They've not prioritized, you know, getting W's, which is good. That's exactly what we want. So
yeah,
in that sense, it's like, okay, that's fine. He's not going to throw a wrench in that too much. The fit, I'm here in a situation now as a Raptors optimist trying to talk myself into a fit.
Again, you already told me they're going to the conference finals.
I still believe that. Now this really solidifies it. But I still don't like the fit. Like, overall, I don't actually like the fit because Ingram's not like a great shooter. He's okay. I think he automatically becomes one of their two or three, but one of their top three, let's say, 3-point shooters. That's not saying much though. The Raptors are just a god awful shooting team that don't create many threes for anybody.
Yeah.
And again, Brandon Ingram, from what we've learned about him these past 2 years, and especially like when he played on Team USA in the FIBA World Cup and was really quite underwhelming, is because he was trying to be put in that role where he was kind of a secondary guy, and there was just he didn't have the ball in his hands enough to be effective, and he didn't really play that role well. So are we saying that we're taking now the ball again out of Scottie's hands and it's going to be in Ingram's hands? Are they going to share it?
Similar in a way.
Well, exactly. That's why I don't love the fit, because you've also got RJ, who's making these big strides as a passer. You've got Quickly, who you want at least running some pick and rolls. You don't want him just out there, relocating and coming off pin downs for 48 minutes. Like, there truly is only one ball to go around. I know that's a cliche, and I know, people probably freak out about that a little bit too much generally, but I don't fully get it. Like, there's so many other guys. Like, so I heard someone on another podcast even mention Zach LaVine. If the Raptors were like, oh, we're going to go after him, like that would theoretically make more sense. Mm-hmm. I would be against that because of the contract and the age and everything, but at least Zach LaVine's shooting an absurd percentage from three and sort of fills a floor spacing role for the Raptors. Like I just don't fully get why we're saying we're going to pull the trigger on this. That being said though, the price is great. You're looking at Brandon Ingram. He's an all-star player at his best. Mm-hmm. You've given up guys that you knew weren't going to be part of your future long-term. The pick is from Indiana. It's not going to be that good. Yep. The first that they're giving up. So it's like, it is kind of, you think about it, it's like, when are you going to get someone as talented as Brandon Ingram at such a depressed price? Maybe let's go in on it. I understand that as well. And last time we talked about it, it's like, okay, even if Ingram isn't ultimately part of your long-term plan, as in he's not the number one guy you're going to pair next to Scottie, you can trade for him at this price, hold on to his value, re-sign him to hopefully a more team-friendly deal, and then flip him once his value's back up. That I can maybe get on board with as well. Again, it's not something I would have thought to do, but that's an option now. You know, the Raptors have his bird rights. I don't think he's going to be coming in thinking, oh, I deserve a max, because basically the Pelicans have been trying to trade the guy for a year and
these
no
guys,
one's
man,
said,
I don't know. I'm not going to say, he's not going to try and get it.
Well, it's true. It's true. Time will tell what that contract ultimately looks like, but yes. But it's like, if I can move past that initial hesitancy with the fit, then I am more on the side of what you just said. It's like that starting five is nice. Like, those are smart players that I think can learn to work together. Mm-hmm. But again, like, I don't know ultimately how long Jakob is going to be here. I don't know if you're paying Ingram, if you can afford to keep both Quickly and RJ. And so like, who exactly are the pieces going to be? it does feel a little bit rudderless, a little bit like the direction keeps being picked and then we keep fucking course correcting violently to the other way. So I'm not in love with the move, but again, I'm trying to be optimistic and say, whatever, we got a really good player for a price that is good, all things considered. And we'll just go from there. So I don't know what to tell you, Matt. I'm in the middle, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't like it, and I'm trying to be happy about it. Don't really like feeling this way after the trade deadline, though. But I mean, I probably would have been more annoyed if we just let these expirings, like if we didn't get anything for these expirings.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad we made a move, I guess.
I love Fred VanVleet.
Yes, well, exactly. Yes.
Well, it's all good, though, because we got PJ Tucker back again.
We got PJ. That's the most important.
That's really, I mean, I really fucking wish we had him in 2016 and he would have stayed, but that's all right. yes. And then we also got my goat, James Wiseman, when he comes back. So that's
and sick. We got James Wiseman. Hey, we're buying up the guys with pedigree. No, he's the center of the future.
Second overall pick. You got to like respect it. Hey, to be actually, today,
as a flyer?
Why not? So here's a spin zone, flip side of this. Today, the Raptors got two former second overall picks. Pretty good.
Exactly. I mean,
they got to be doing something right.
Yes. And if down the line, those guys ever recoup their value and get to even like 80% of the players they were supposed to be, that's a nice front court with Scottie Barnes. Mm-hmm, I will say mm-hmm. that.
Well, we'll see if that all pans out for the Raptors. We'll see if they actually draw a line in the sand, make a direction here. And moving on to another one of the bigger trades before we kind of get into a bit of a rapid fire of some of the other minor moves that went on down and around the NBA. This one involving the Los Angeles Lakers. They didn't want to sit on their hands. They made another move here, Jordan, apparently at the discretion and the urgency of Luka Doncic, which is really funny to me. They went after a big man. If only Anthony Davis had suggested that earlier. But they went after a big man. They make a move with the Charlotte Hornets. They get Mark Williams in exchange for Dalton Connect, Cam Reddish, a 2030 pick swap, and the 2031 first-round pick unprotected from the Lakers. So, interesting trade, I will say. Not the guy who I expected the Lakers to go after in Mark Williams, who, a very solid young player to watch coming out of Duke. Last year, he'd shown a lot of great signs of development. This year, and even a lot of last year, he's really struggled to stay healthy. But if they can figure that out, if they can rest him. Like, this guy's a legitimate seven-footer. He's big. He's got that NBA build. He's ready to go. He can score. He's got a nice little touchdown low. Beast on the boards. Like, he is a perfect guy to have for this Lakers team right now. He's young, so he can make him the new lob threat guy to pair alongside Luka for the next 5-6 years, really, however long you want him there. He can play defense. He's not going to try and command the rock too much. I do think, fit-wise, home run for the Lakers. I think this is a good one. I am kind of, like, I was honestly a little bit taken aback. I was kind of shocked by the haul they gave up. I mean, Cam Reddish sucks. I don't care what anybody says. That doesn't matter. But giving up Dalton Connect already, I was a little bit surprised. He was having a pretty solid rookie year. It looked like the Lakers were really happy to have him, but I guess I think I saw someone say that they met their white boy DEI quota, so they didn't need him anymore. And so then Connect was sent away. But I think the Hornets, they're, I mean, tanking again, I guess. Good for you guys. Picking a direction that you are just always in, I guess. No matter what, you guys are always fucking tanking. But you get Connect, who's solid. I think you can pair him well next to kind of LaMelo. I'm assuming he'll be starting because, the Hornets also made a couple other moves. Cody Martin getting sent out of there. Vasil Milicic also gone. So they're going to have some minutes to play, guys. I think Connect will have a lot of time to kind of shine. Doesn't really add too much defensively to that team that has kind of struggled throughout the season. Their defensive rating is actually not horrible, but not the greatest.
Than offense.
Yes, much better than the offense, which they kind of need that. And then they get the draft capital, so good there. Honestly, I overall, since I've had some time to stomach it, digest it, and look through all the different I don't know what I'm trying to say. The different scenarios for this team. Yeah. I think this is a win-win. I think this is actually one of the lone trades from this deadline that I can actually circle and be like, you know what? I get why both sides did it. I'm happy with how this went.
Yeah, and I literally didn't know just till right now when I was looking at the Shams tweet that they did give up the 2031 unprotected first that they were holding on to, the Lakers. That was part of this deal, which I completely forgot about. And for some reason,
do they have a single first round pick anymore?
I don't think so. I think those were the two that the Lakers could trade. So that's it. These are the moves they've made. I do think that is a bit of a steep price for Mark Williams. Like I really like Mark Williams, like you do. I think he's one of these young guys, like Jalen Duren in Detroit, even like a version of what Derek Lively brings, like a perfect big long armed guy who can run the floor and jump, like perfect lob threat for Luka. Like you were saying, love it. That's great. But like, it felt like the Hornets kind of knew how desperate the Lakers were for someone like that and were able to get that pick plus the other swap. Dalton Connect, like that's a decent shooter. Even Cam Reddish. I know no one cares about Cam Reddish, but you know, I think he'll play on the Hornets probably. We'll see. He is mainly a throw in, but
he's finally going to live up to those expectations.
Yes. Yes. In Charlotte, that'll be the place that brings the best out of him. Mm-hmm. I do mainly agree. Yeah, that's a win-win for both sides. If the Lakers were willing to offer all of that, I think, you know, the Hornets are still so far away from competing. They're so, I think now the LaMelo Ball situation, you're looking at it and it's like, okay, eventually you're going to have to say, okay, like, is he sort of older now? He's 23. Like, we're going to be in the lottery now this coming year. And probably for the next few, or at least getting high picks still for the next few, are we going to have to think about maybe moving off of him and starting a whole new thing? Because a lot of these picks now that they've acquired are well into the future. Like they own their firsts now for the next 7 years, and they've got ones way down the line. So it's when you're like, okay, do you want to part with Mark Williams? Can you afford to do that? It's like I think that's fine. I don't think this is like the incredible duo, him and LaMelo, that you should never break up. Like that's fine. But perfect fit for the Lakers. I think that's great. It is weird though, too, from the Hornets perspective, like they also just gave up Nick Richards. So you had two sort of young centers that you had on your roster. Now you don't really have any. You've got Taj Gibson now. He's your center that you're going out with. So again, it does signal to me that the Hornets are like, we don't really believe in that many of our young guys here. There's clearly nothing here that's like burgeoning. Let's just,
or they're just fucking
kicking
dumb.
The can down the road, or they're dumb, but at least they're, we're talking about picking a direction. They're kind of doing that. It's clearly eyes on the future. From the Lakers' point of view, like initially my reaction was like Mark Williams is the perfect fit, but I would have liked someone with a little bit more experience. Cause I was thinking from the Lakers, like point of view, trying to win this year and next year with LeBron still there. But if you're looking about long-term with Luka, who's still only 25, I think this is actually the better way to go, to get a guy who's young, who you can develop along the way. And apparently the connection is that, Mark Williams at Duke, JJ Redick was there and kind of mentored him or whatever. So they've got a relationship. Hopefully that translates into, him playing hard for him, all that stuff. I'm sure that's going to work out great. But I do like, the reason I kind of wanted someone, with a little bit more experience is I can see Mark Williams coming in and still being quite raw and being thrown into the fire of
the guy now played 19 games last in Charlotte. Season.
Yeah. And you're used to playing in Charlotte. Now you're going to be playing, in the biggest market in the NBA with a lot of pressure.
Yep.
You better have good hands. You better catch those lobs from LeBron and Luka. You better, defend the rim well, all that stuff. So it's a lot of pressure on a young guy, but long-term it's a good move for the Lakers. I agree. It's a win-win. And I mean, as much as I can say good stuff about Dalton Connect, he's a great shooter. I think it's fine that the Lakers have parted with him. I don't think, he was part of the long-term vision, especially with Luka there in the backcourt now.
And they got Bronny.
More defensive minded guys. Yeah. And they've got Luka and Bronny and Mark Williams. It's they're set for the future.
That's the big three. High pressure, but high reward, because if you can pair up with a guy like Luka and he likes you and you guys work well together, you will get paid for the rest of your career. That's all you got to do.
Yep.
DeAndre
Jordan special.
Yeah. Be that Robin to the Batman. Moving on to the next smaller trade, but this one I actually think is, we both were talking about it a little bit just before it even happened, the possibility of it. DeAndre Hunter traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers in exchange for Caris LeVert, Georges Niang, three future second-round picks, and two future pick swaps. The Hawks, you know what, I think they're kind of done with the season. Jalen Johnson going down. You know, we thought maybe they were going to be a buyer. They once they missed out on Brandon Ingram, because apparently it was down to them and the Raptors. The Raptors beat them out. I'm assuming that this package they gave up to Cleveland was probably around what they were offering for Brandon Ingram. And, you know, the Hawks get spurned. So they go into what seems to be kind of a rebuilding motion here with LeVert, Niang, and then a haul of second-round picks. DeAndre Hunter, though, to the Cavs, is absolutely perfect. He is playing the best basketball of his career right now, both sides of the ball. I mean, he's been a lockdown defender ever since you know, he was playing for you know, the Virginia Cavaliers back in the day. And now here he is in the NBA doing the same things. But he's averaging almost 20 points damn near per game right now. He's been rock solid, shooting lights out from three. And he's finally going to fill that void for the Cavs at the three spot. Brings great size, good length, awesome athleticism. I really can't sing his praises enough this season, the stuff he's been doing on the court. And then you go to the second best team in the NBA right now, the top dogs in the Eastern Conference. They just got a whack load better. Caris LeVert has barely played this year. You know, he's been out for the last month or so. Really solid player, and you know, does a lot of things well. But I mean, when you've got
He's been good for them when he's played. But
But when you get Darius Garland and you've got Donovan Mitchell and then Ty Jerome off the bench, I think he kind of became a little bit redundant to that point. Yes. So you know, he's expendable. He's sent off, and you make a huge upgrade at your weakest spot that we've been pleading for the Cavs to finally upgrade, and they've done it. Yep. They've got Max Strus back now as well. If they need someone to really go and play the two, he can do it. It's probably a better suited spot for him than him having to go play the three. I think this is an awesome, awesome get for the Cavs, and I think that they just got a whole lot more dangerous out east.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact type of player filling the exact spot we've been talking about that the Cavs need and don't have for 2 or 3 years, whenever they put this big four together. That's always been a bit of a weak spot. It's always been like, oh, Isaac Okoro can play it. Oh, yeah, he's fucking 6'2 or whatever. I know he's a bit taller than that, but he looks 6'2 basically out there. Like, DeAndre Hunter is legit. Yeah. And hey, for the record, I like Isaac Okoro, so I won't take any slander. But DeAndre Hunter is legit big. He's huge. I mean, think about that front line now. If you're going to play the two bigs plus DeAndre Hunter, who's a solid like 6'8", 6'9", whatever he is, and he looks big.
I think he's listed as 6'7", Victor Wembanyama the other day. He looks huge. He's got big shoulders.
Yeah. And strong, like, and he's got the foot speed. I will say, like, I think he looks like a better defender than he actually is, but I still think it's a good... Like, he's going to be a great option if you go up against Boston, which in all likelihood you will have to face if you're Cleveland. Like, you didn't really have anyone who could square up physically with the Jays, and he finally can.
Yep.
You know, the legend Dean Wade has the size, but he's too white, unfortunately. Yes. So, yeah, it's just a seamless fit. The second I heard that they were in play for him, I was like, wow, that would be incredible. Because, yeah, he's just been gangbusters this year. It's almost too bad that he's breaking out now for the Hawks, where he's been so kind of disappointing the first number of years in the NBA, and then Jalen Johnson comes along and is great and clearly is a better player than him at the same position, and now is when he kind of breaks out. It's kind of bad timing for them, but perfect pickup for the Cavs. I've also heard other people talk about how, you know, DeAndre Hunter is just such a bad playmaker. He's not a great passer. He's not going to fit into that Cavs system very well. I don't give a fuck. He can shoot it every time he gets it. Like, let everyone else pass the ball around like crazy. That's a great offensive system that they've got going over there. Kenny Atkinson has put together a sort of a magical formula, but you still need someone who's going to knock it down and have the size, can get to the rim. Like, he can just go with the green light. If he keeps shooting it at the clip he's been shooting it at this year, that's great. As long as he competes defensively and kind of fall into that system, it's just a perfect fit.
If Michael Porter Jr. Can play next to Westbrook and Jamal Murray, I think that they can make this work.
Yeah, exactly. So, love it for them. I think they got, you're right, loads better. And it gives you great versatility too, because I think you can play DeAndre Hunter at that three as a massive three, a la fucking Lauri Markkanen, which the Cavs have been doing now for a number of years. But you can play him so easily at that four next to one of the bigs. and then bring another guy like Strus, you know, like Dean Wade, whatever, Ty Jerome, whoever you want to bring in. Like, it's just great lineup versatility as well. So yeah, just love it across the board for the Cavs. You know, for the Hawks. Yeah, if you can get Caris LeVert out there on the floor, I think next to Trae Young, it's a kind of rangy guy with long arms. He's who's got some height. Like, I like that. He can play the two or the three, and a decent defender in his own right as well. George Niang, we don't really care about that. And
now he can stretch the floor.
You know, that's some compensation. But you know, yeah, if you're the Hawks, it's not a conversation for now. But you've got to decide if Trae Young is really part of your future plans. Or if you are saying, look, we're building around Jalen Johnson and Zachary Risache and Dyson Daniels and these guys who are decently younger than Trae Young at this point and more of a kind of defensive, hard-nosed focus, not really the flashy offense Trae Young type team. And moving off Hunter and bringing in these guys, it's kind of like, okay, are we shifting out of the era? Well, that's yet to be seen, but decent haul for Hunter. I would have thought maybe he'd get more, to be honest, but... I think this is a pretty good outcome for both sides, ultimately.
Yeah, and the Hawks weren't done there either. They also moved Bogdan Bogdanovic over there to the Clippers, yes. Which is going to be an interesting move. They just got a little bit better offensively with that move. The Clippers did. I believe it was Terrence Mann that is going back from the
and
the Clippers.
Bones Highland.
Yeah, they've been. I mean, Bones Highland's been in just purgatory as well in his own regard. Maybe he'll get some burn here in Atlanta. And Terrence Mann, who at one point...
Terrence Mann, another defensive guard
was
who
the coveted,
does a little bit of everything.
He was the diamond of the Clippers' future there for a while. So I'm so shocked they ever finally gave him up. But good move on the Clippers' part. They got a lot better with Bogdan there. It's just another just good guy to have come off the bench and score with the best of them. Give your top dogs a little bit of a break there. But the trade that I do want to mention here, Jordan, that we can dive a little bit deeper into... Jonas Valanciunas, our boy, the Lithuanian legend, going to Sacramento. You know, this is a weird trade. Like, well, not one I really would have talked about if they hadn't already made, you know, these moves already this season that we talked about with the De'Aaron Fox, Zach LaVine move. So in exchange for Jonas Valanciunas, the Wizards get Sidy Cissoko and two future second-round picks. Both of them are one's 2028, one's 2029. And Cissoko, you'll also remember, was involved in the trade that sent Zach LaVine to Sacramento in that three-team deal with Chicago and San Antonio. And now he's also being waived, I believe, by the Wizards. So he's just been...
Poor
that's
guy.
That's a real whirlwind
actually,
for that
that's
guy.
Better than having to play for the Wizards, probably.
It's true. It is true. But Jonas ends up in on the Kings for essentially two future second-round picks in the end of the day. Very weird. We both said that it was an odd... time for the Kings to commit to getting another big man because he's gonna have to come off the bench, right? I don't think that you can play Jonas and Sabonis at the same time. You know, they've got that Lithuanian connection.
Jonas and Sabonis.
I do enjoy that, and you know, maybe there is a way they go down the in certain situations of a game that you could go twin towers and put them both out there. But neither one of them really are that reliable to shoot the rock. Like, Jonas likes to strap it sometimes, and Sabonis has been a lot more consistent this season, but neither one of them are really true floor-spacing bigs, so I don't really know what their goal here is. Like, he's an upgrade off of Alex Len, I can say that much. So, like, you have a dependable, you know, backup big now, and you only had to give up two second-round picks to get him. So, solid add for the Kings. They got a little bit deeper. But it was just I didn't really have them – penciled in as buyers for a big man.
No, and I would have. There's so many other places that Jonas could have gone. I mean, it was obviously rumored to, you know, the Lakers having sniffing around him. Mm-hmm. That was more so
that's
when AD
was
still
going.
There. Yeah, and you know, there. It's just the Kings were not on my radar for him at all because I mean, aside from the shooting thing, like technically they both obviously they don't shoot a lot of threes, but technically they both can. Space it, whatever. Like they, you know, Sabonis, I think technically is shooting like an insane percentage from three.
Yeah, it's like 48 something.
But again, it's more about like the defense. Like, how can you in 2025 play Jonas Valanciunas and Domantas Sabonis out there at the same time? Like, other teams will see that like fresh blood. Like, they'll just put two guys who can shoot it. And those guys are
just fast rim runners. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Any, like, and just play small, whatever you want to do. Like, I don't think they're that insanely talented as low post guys that they're going to punish you enough to you know, take you out of what will be punishing them on the other side of the court, just spreading it out and making them also just making them defend the pick and roll, having two guys out there that aren't really great at that. Like it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, Dwayne Casey would have loved playing both of these guys back in 2013.
Not Jonas. Would have been benched in the fourth quarter for Patrick Patterson.
Yes, true. Shout out Patrick Patterson. I forgot about him. He was great for a little while.
He had a couple good games, Pat.
But I guess if you're the Kings, I mean, seemingly this is the friendship team, because you've got the not only the Lithuanian connection, also DeMar DeRozan and JV playing together again. Yes. That's so funny and so great. Obviously, LaVine and DeRozan getting back together after a little bit of a hiatus there, not even that long apart. And so
DeRozan must be the big dog, man. Trying to make him happy, get all his buddies. They're going to trade for. They should have gotten Kyle Lowry.
They could get Kyle. Maybe, I mean,
buy him out.
Nick Nurse obviously still likes him. Yeah, you could get a buyout. You get a signing over there. That would be fun. But I mean, are they just saying, look, in to say we're sorry about trading away, you know, the great all-star level point guard. We're just going to bring all your friends onto this team. Like maybe that could work. But again, they have two centers that they can't play together and they don't have a point guard. I'm also so skeptical about this. Oh, we're going to play Malik Monk and Zach LaVine in the backcourt and it's all going to be fine. Like since when is Malik Monk have this belief from everyone that he's going to be this great guy who can set people up? Like that's never been his strength. He can do it again in a pinch. Like I'm not saying he's bad at running things and as like a bench guy to come in and do that, that's fine. But
his assist numbers are good this season. That's why. But sure. Doesn't mean that he's a playmaker.
Like, well, that's like saying Dennis Schroeder is going to come in and you know, because of his stats are going to change the fortune of the Warriors. Like exactly. It doesn't always happen like that. So yeah, I just find the construction of it weird, bringing in JV and saying we're going to try and make this work. I don't think there'll be that many situations where you can play them both together on the court at the same time. And Domas is a pretty durable high minute big. Like you don't need a backup as qualified as Jonas, so it's a bit of a perplexing move. But like you said, you're not really giving up that much, and if it's really just in a desperation move to bring in you know, a friend to say please don't ask out of this situation that's been a fucking mess, then maybe I get it. But yeah, the fit's certainly not perfect.
Well, moving on to our penultimate trade to discuss here. It's just kind of a funny one more than anything. But for the Suns, this maybe is an okay move. We'll talk it over here. But the Suns finally find Nurkic a home. Big Nurk, he's out of there. He goes to the Charlotte Hornets. There's the veteran voice you needed there. Charlotte, you got Big Nurk. And the Suns, of course,
he's gonna fight with LaMelo, man.
Oh, 100%. He's gonna be there's gonna be problems here. But he'll be able to take all the dumb shots he wants. And no one's gonna say anything. Like he is the starting center now. He wanted to be a starter somewhere. Oh, yeah. This is the only team he could be a starter on.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I was talking about Charlotte giving away.
I still think they should start Taj Gibson. Fine. That was actually a good idea. Number 67 on the jersey. I like it. But the Suns in exchange get Cody Martin, Vasily Micic, and a 2026 second round pick. The Hornets, it doesn't fucking matter. They suck. Nurkic, his number, again, it's going to be one of those guys. His numbers are going to be crazy, I'm sure. The field goal percentage is going to be like the lowest of all time for a fucking center. And they got another first round pick. That's really my biggest gripe, I guess, on my side of this for the Suns. You have barely any draft capital and you just fucking gave up a first round pick so someone could take Nurkic. You're telling me you couldn't have convinced any team to take Nurkic without, like, that's why I always have a problem when they just completely bench guys outright like that. Okay, now you've just completely stocked the plummeted tanked their stock. Nobody wants to buy in on him now. You got to at least get him on the court, let him have some flashy plays, let him show something. Like it's a little bit weird to me that's kind of the way out that they went. And then you have to end up throwing in your limited draft capital when your only draft picks you actually had fucking coming up, and now it's gone. But you do get two more, you know, role-playing guys that can, you know, be serviceable off the bench. The Suns desperately need it, especially Micic. I think he actually is going to be a big part of this. He's a really underrated facilitator. He can stretch the floor pretty well. Off the bench, I think that we're going to see a lot of Micic for the Suns. But overall, I mean, I guess my main thing still is that this was just such a disappointing trade deadline result for Phoenix, especially since they missed out on Jimmy, and then immediately was like, okay, we're hitting the panic button, trade KD, Bradley Beal is holding yes. the entire organization hostage, we can't fucking do anything. And pretty much everything that we said when they made this move in the past offseason has come true. And again, it's funny because, again, I do think that the Western Conference has a lot of good teams and it's going to be really competitive, but like kind of like the Warriors, like, the Suns, I'm looking at, like, I hope they don't make the playoffs. Like, this is another one, like, in the play-in. Like, I don't even care. Like, I don't have any faith in them, even with KD and Durant. Like, I just – or KD and Drake, Booker and Durant, I just don't look at them as, like, a scary team by any means. And especially since last year they got fucking bitch-slapped by the Timberwolves and swept. Like, same as I said before, maybe the Rockets, they could give them a run for their money. But I think I actually have less confidence in the Suns than I do the Warriors. So, I'm – They tried something, man. They got something for Nurkic, but yeah, giving up that one of their only first round picks they had left on their roster.
They do not care.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. But they don't. Yeah, you can't hit reset, Ishiba. This is not 2K. You can't just go back. You can't hit reset on the game, start a new save file. You've completely fucked this franchise in like a year.
He really is. Yeah, he really is. I've never seen the new owner syndrome hit quite this hard. Like, he really is. Just completely miscalculating how these things work and how to actually build a team.
Him and Nico Harrison should run for president. That should actually be the Dems. That should be their leadership party.
Absolutely. It does all come back to Bradley Beal because they were fucking desperate, probably on the phones for the last month, trying to get someone to bite on what's clearly the worst contract in the league. Mm-hmm. Again, we both thought it made the most sense to just do a straight up swap for Jimmy and Beal. If you could get Miami to agree with it, clearly they just were having none of it, which, again, I think. This is so much of a better outcome for Miami to get the package they got from the Warriors than if you had to take Bradley Beal.
The problem with Beal is that it's not even the money that you take in. Like, Beal is still decent. Like, he's not a trash player by any means. He can go out there and get you a bucket, decent, facilitator, whatever. But the problem is that
you can't trade him.
Yeah, you can't trade him. You have to get him to agree to it. If you think you got him to agree to it once, so what are the chances you're going to get him to do it twice? That's been the problem. I think teams just didn't want to fucking deal with that headache. Again, one of the only guys in the NBA that has one. It's nuts to me.
Yes, it's insane. And so that's where all the problems stem from. You can go down the line like of how their team isn't sort of set up perfectly. That's again because, like, I don't even know how they've swung this. When you look at like the cap sheet of every one of these teams, like, all three of Booker, Beal, and Durant this year are making basically $50 million. Like, that's insane. Like, I thought that, I know this has been the reality now for through last year, but it's just still crazy to me that they have all three of those guys at that number on one team. I thought this whole, the second apron, first apron thing was supposed to stop that. But I mean, you're seeing how handcuffed a team who goes all in on three guys like that is. Like, they've been so unable to upgrade, even when you have Ishbia so willing to say, look, we'll give Jimmy however many years he wants, we'll give him a lucrative contract. Like, they just have not, they clearly weren't able to do it. Now they're making these little moves on the periphery. It just doesn't move the needle. I mean, you had to get rid of Nurkic. I give them props for doing that, but that's because the relationship with fucking Coach Bud and him was so bad that apparently they haven't talked in like a month. So obviously you had to get off of him. You get the worst Martin brother. I mean, he's still going to probably be okay. He's a decent defender. He can be out there. I do like Micic probably the most, like a backcourt playmaker. That will be good for them, I think.
Yep.
But you've just got, outside of your top three guys who, again, have their own injury concerns, and Bradley Beal just is not worth the money, as everyone knows, like, you've just got a bunch of mediocre guys. And the guys that they brought in ultimately are just more mediocre guys who aren't going to change your fortunes that much. Like, I think it was smart to do what you did to bring in Nick Richards. He is theoretically going to help your defense, which, at last check, 27th in the league, just god awful. And bringing in Cody Martin might help with that a little bit as well. But again, like, Royce O'Neal is supposed to be this wing stopper. He's kind of old and too small. Grayson Allen's not having the best year. You go down the line, like, you're supposed to have this good point guard rotation between Tyus Jones and Monte Morris. Both of them have not been that great this year. Like, and to top it all off, you've now, for over the last 24, 48 hours, Kevin Durant has been on the minds and fucking mouths of everyone. Bradley Beal also has been, obviously, we know, in trade talks, yes, and sort of propositions now for a long time. Like, apparently, according to everything that's come out of there in the last day or so, the vibes are just awful. Like, the locker room is, there's just no camaraderie. Like, everyone knows they've been shopped and probably in a whole bunch of different, like, deals. Like, mm-hmm, it's just not a good way to run a franchise. Like, it's like we always say, this is not a video game. These are people, and you can't just expect to throw money at the problem, to put the best guys out there, especially guys who are so injury prone. Like, it's just, I don't have high hopes for the rest of the season for the Suns. This is probably the worst case scenario that the season could have gone down. Because funny enough, you and I were both kind of high on the Suns going into the season, being like, super look, high. They filled out the roster the best way they can. They've got a proven regular season head coach. None of it has looked good. None of it has felt good. And I think there's a big chance it just gets even worse from here. So, mm-hmm, not looking good for the Suns. Ultimately, it's good to get off Nurkic, but that's not saying much. You had to do that. Yeah. So I'm not giving you props for something you had to do.
And having you throw in that first round pick to go with it. It's like very, very horrible scenes here out of Phoenix right at this point. Nothing good to say, man. What a dumpster fire. How disappointing the Beal and Durant experiment has gone at this point. Like, I feel like that was such an easy home run.
Yes, I know. It felt like such a great fit. And I do still think Booker and Durant are a great fit.
Yeah.
If they hadn't traded for Bradley Beal, think about what could happen right now. This is why you also don't rush into stupid shit and say, well, they would have easily got Jimmy. They would have had a way better like rest of the team. Like they could have, if you just save your ammo for something that made more sense, that didn't like go against every thing of common sense team building right from the start. It's so frustrating. It's so stupid. And also, the last thing, too, I wanted to say about this whole situation of Jimmy's maybe going here. Oh, he's going to Phoenix or he's going to the Warriors. This whole thing of that there could have been a situation where Jimmy goes to Phoenix and then KD is on the Warriors or KD is in Miami.
Like, yeah, that made weird.
No sense at all. That was just stupid. I don't know why that was even discussed.
Yeah, I was really confused when I saw that report that KD would go to Miami and that. It's like, what the fuck's the point then?
Yeah,
you're just getting worse on I agree. Very, 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 very weird out there in Phoenix. Nobody knows what's going on with that one. To end it off, we got one small little one we want to talk about, but one that may be worth noting. Daniel Theis traded from New Orleans over to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the top team in the NBA. Literally, they just pretty much bought him. They also got a 20-31 second round pick to go along with it. Chet Holmgren's coming back this Friday. You guys will probably be listening to it on the day of Chet's return. But we have seen him, deal with some injuries, lots of injuries to the center rotation of the Thunder. Hartenstein also, dealing with a little bit of wear and tear throughout the season. Good move to get a guy like Theis. Guy's been experienced in the playoffs, been on winning teams, knows what he needs to do, stretches the floor really well. Still a bit small as a center, but he kind of makes up for it. I was honestly, the first time I ever saw that he was listed at 6'8", I was shocked.
I know.
He plays a lot bigger than that. So I think that's a smart move with the Thunder. Pretty quiet deadline. Again, they're holding on to those picks, it seems. So hopefully they hit a home run. I really would have liked to see them make a bit more of a splash. But you know what? It is what it is. Solid here for the Thunder to get a guy like Theis. It's just kind of a luxury. He might not even play most nights, but if push ever comes to shove, your back's against the wall and you just need a guy to step up in the rotation, you have so much depth on this team now that you pretty much have no worries, worst case scenario, outside of SGA going down. Knock on all wood that doesn't happen.
Yes, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Just had another 50 piece the other night.
yeah, insane. Mainly this too. It's funny because this was a move for the Pelicans to get under the tax. Like they just didn't need Theis, so they said, look, will you take this? It's crazy that the Thunder are still willing to say, yeah, we'll take on this manageable salary, throw in a pick. My God, the picks that they have, at some point they're gonna have to do something with them. Like you physically can't draft that many guys. We'll see ultimately if they can win it all this year and make those kind of decisions down the line. But
they're going to have like their own secondary G League team. It'll be the blue and then they'll also have like the red maybe or something. I don't know.
they'll like build their own like European like farm team, like when they've got the guys who come up like like when they're from 16 onwards, and they're just they've got a lot of flexibility there. That's the joke. They're like monitoring guys who are like 4 years old right now. They're like, he's gonna be good in 2040. I do think Theis is like, when I saw the move, I was like, this is actually smart, because I don't think it'll be the case where he just never plays. Like, I do think he will get some minutes. He's a veteran big who is pretty cerebral. Like, he knows what to do. That's what I texted you too. This is unrelated to the cerebral comment, by the way, but is this the first all white four man center rotation that we've had since I don't know when? Because you've got Brendan Carlson in there as well, who the Thunder, I believe he's still there with the squad, but also two Germans I didn't realize.
You've got Hartenstein and Theis. That
might be the first time ever as well. But I do think like he does fit in nicely. If they have to throw him out there in a pinch, like if Holmgren goes down in the playoffs, Hartenstein has three fouls or something, like you throw Daniel Theis out there, he's got a ton of experience playing internationally, but also in the NBA. He was on those Celtics teams, you know, back you know, bubble, like when he was playing with Kemba Walker and all those guys. Like he's no slouch. He's obviously a bit older, and you know, he's not going to be relied on at this point. But I like the move, and it's just it's crazy how easy it is for a team like the Thunder, who's so talented, to still have the flexibility, like money wise, to just be able to take this on, just no sweat. Mm-hmm. It's the rich get richer in the NBA, I suppose. It's just a smart move from them, just some more insurance, solidifying what's already probably the championship favorite.
Well, let us know what you guys thought of the 2025 NBA trade deadline, one of the craziest we've ever seen. Lots of huge moves to discuss, so give us all your hottest takes. Did you like what your team did you not? Let us know what you thought at Big Dog Ball Talk, X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, for all you old heads out there. We'll be back on Monday, and until then, this is Matt Acorn, Jordan Fleagle, Big Dog Ball Talk, and as my good friend Jordan always says,
I love the Earl Grey tea, Matt. I'm on the Earl Grey tea kick, because you can just have the plain English breakfast. I know you enjoy that sometimes, but I'm a big peppermint fan. Oh, okay. So you like the herbal? You don't want the caffeine, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I've been rocking with. I've also shout out to David's Teas. I like some Silk Dragon green tea when I do want a little bit of a caffeine hit. But peppermint tea's been where I'm at in the winter, man. It's nice because it's very very calming, no caffeine. Just keeps you nice and warm and toasty. That's what I like about it.
Love it. Throw some eggnog in there.